All right, welcome to church, everybody. So good to see you. Jen and I are very, very excited and happy to be back. We missed you guys a ton after we had a little break this summer. And just want to say we love you guys and thank you for coming back. Say hello to everybody at Cape Coral, everybody at Janesville, God Behind Bars, Dixon Hardy, Pando App. Come on, put your hands together welcoming our City First Church family. Love you guys so much. And I know some of you are even traveling right now. You're still on vacation, and we are jealous. But I will say this. As soon as you're done, get back here, okay, because we miss you a ton. Years ago, when I actually did travel a lot more than I do now, I had some pretty decent status with United Airlines because you travel enough, and they start giving you different types of status and things like that and perks and everything. Well, Jen and I were heading to an overseas trip with a group of pastors, and we were flying out of Chicago O'Hare right down the road here. And it was one of those massive planes you get on that is like so big. It's like for those international long haul flights, and you know, it could like house a small town in it, you know, that kind of thing. And we got settled into our seat and we put everything away, and I received a text message from a pastor friend that was on the trip, but he was having to fly in from another city to get to Chicago to get on our jet, our flight overseas, and his flight was delayed. And you know, not only that, but on top of that, he said, I'm landing at a different terminal, which was like 20 minutes away, and he had just about 30 days before that had knee surgery. There was no way he was making our flight. Absolutely no way. And so I'm looking around, I'm seeing everybody on our flight is already seated. There's no one boarding anymore. And they're about ready to close the cabin door. And I looked at Jen and I go, I'm gonna go up front and see if they will hold the plane. She's like, what? Are you crazy? I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna try. So I went up there and I went and talked to the purser and the captain. I go, hey, listen, I go, I realize I don't have the top tier status on United, but I'm one level down, I'm close, you know? And I just, as a loyal customer, I'm gonna make a pretty radical request here, but would you entertain the idea of holding the plane back for like another 20 or 25 minutes? And I explained the situation, the delayed flight of my friend, landing in another terminal, that he had knee surgery, the whole nine yards. And so the captain and the purser kind of looked at each other, and the captain took me aside and said, okay, he said, I technically cannot tell air traffic control to hold the plane for someone who's late. But here's the deal. He said, there's a rule that they can't push back from the gate if the captain isn't on the plane. So what I'm gonna do, he said, I'm gonna go ahead and walk down the jet bridge and go back into the terminal and take a little stroll in the terminal for about 25 minutes. Are you cool with that? And I'm like, am I cool with that? You're the coolest captain in the world. Are you kidding me? And so I was like high-fiving him. I took a picture with him. I was gonna show the picture, and I thought, I don't know if he was allowed to do that, so I don't know if I wanna show the picture. But you know, I was like, thank you so much. You don't even realize how much I appreciate it. And I went back to my seat, and Jen was like, well, what happened? I'm like, they're holding the plane for me. She's like, what? I'm like, yeah, no bigs, you know? Now let's break this down for a moment, okay? Let's break down this story. First of all, I did have loyalty to United Airlines because I've flown a lot with them. But at the end of the day, I did not have the authority or the power to hold the plane. Who had the real power? The captain had the real power. I had loyalty, he had authority, and I received favor. Now let's sit in this for a moment. I had loyalty, he had authority, and I received favor. I started to think about that, and I thought, you know what? That's the way it is with God. That when you're loyal to Jesus, he is the one with the power, he is the one with the authority. I don't have the authority, I just have loyalty. That's all I got, right? He has authority, he has power, and because of that, I receive heaven's favor. In other words, when you're loyal to God, the one who has the power, you walk in favor. There are certain blessings and benefits that only come from a relationship with God that you cannot get anywhere else. No amount of human wisdom, no amount of ability, no amount of moxie or connections or relational cred or any of that that you have, none of that can get you the favor that only God can give you. On your own, yes, you can achieve some success. And on your own, you can gain some favor. But I will tell you, when you are loyal to God, He provides a blessing and a favor that is not based upon your performance, but rather His goodness. Does that make sense? King David in the Old Testament understood this. And I say King David because he was king. Like, he was the most powerful person in the entire land. And yet this king understood the fact that God really had the power, God really had the authority, and that is where David got his favor from. In fact, I love this. It says in Psalms 103, David wrote it, "Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise His holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord." And listen, may I never forget the good things He does for me. What does He do? He forgives all my sins. He heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death. He crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord gives righteousness. That word righteousness, by the way, means right standing with God. The Lord gives righteousness and justice to all who are treated unfairly. My message is not about this today, but if you have felt like you have been treated unfairly, maybe in your career, at work, maybe in a relationship, maybe by a loved one or a family member or a best friend, the Lord gives justice to those who have been treated unfairly. So today, I want to focus on not forgetting the favor. Some of us, we either have forgotten or we don't know that God gives us favor. And that's what I want to talk about today. If you're a Christ follower, you are the beneficiary of God's goodness, forgiveness, and blessing. And sometimes we forget that, and I hope today is a loud reminder to everyone who follows Jesus that you have the favor of God on your life. But there are things that make us forget the favor of God. And I'll tell you two things that make us forget the favor of God: good times and bad times. I know some of you are like going, are there any other times? Well, in good times, we forget the favor of God because we think that we have earned the favor, or we don't need God anymore because everything is going well. We have the world by its tail. Everything is up and to the right. Life is good. There's no depression. There's no helplessness. There's no desperation, no urgency for a breakthrough. And so we're living in the favor, and we forget we aren't the ones that brokered the favor. We forget it. We think, oh, well, you know what? I earned this. I worked hard. I advanced in my career. I got my education. I got connected to the right people. I did the right things. We start to take credit for the favor when things get too good. Conversely, though, and it almost seems a little contradictory, but conversely, bad times can also make us forget God's favor. Bad times can drive us to our knees, but many times, bad times make us question whether God is even there anymore. Like, did He forget about us? Does He love us? Are His promises even real? And so we forget all the blessings and the favor of God because we start looking at the problem or the crisis, and that makes us believe that God isn't with us, and we forget the favor that God has given to us. King David's son, his name was Solomon, he took over the throne after David died, and he wrote this. I think it's very interesting. He actually wrote the book of Proverbs, all right, Wisdom Keys. I would highly recommend reading Proverbs. In fact, there's 31 Proverbs, and you could read whatever the date is. You could read that proverb every single day. I do this. I love Proverbs. Proverbs 30 says this. Solomon writes, "Give me neither poverty nor riches. Give me just enough to satisfy my needs. For if I grow rich, I may deny you and say, 'Who's the Lord?' And if I am too poor, I may steal and thus insult God's holy name." You see, when things are too good or things are too bad, we tend to forget the favor that God has given to us. Recently, professional golfer Scottie Scheffler told a story that took place years ago where he and his friend were in some random city and they decided to play a public golf course. Now Scottie is like a really good golfer. He's very well known, and when he walked into the pro shop, the head golf professional immediately recognized, this is Scottie Scheffler coming in right now. Like this is a famous golfer. And so the head pro looked at Scottie and said, "Hey, listen, I'm so honored that you're here and playing this golf course, our public golf course. I'm gonna comp your round of golf." And Scottie's friend that came in with him spoke up and thanked the head pro and said, "Man, thanks for doing that." And the head pro turned the friend and said, "Oh, no, I comped his golf, you're paying." Sometimes we act like we earned the favor, but in reality, we're just tagging along with the one who's actually important. Sometimes as Christ followers, we think, "Oh yeah, I earned this." No, you're just tagging along with Jesus. You understand? It was Jesus that gave you the breakthrough. It was Jesus that gave you the blessing. It was Jesus that gave you the favor. You're just there. Sometimes life gives us a reality check and we remember, "Oh yeah, I'm not the one who brokered the favor. I didn't earn this. It was God that gave it to us." You know, to the business professionals, we have a lot of them that are a part of City First at all of our locations. You know this, that things may be going well and all it takes is a downturn in sales, an unstable market, a change in the customer's appetite for the product, a competitor's advantage, and things all of a sudden can turn real quick. I remember talking to my friends at our location down in Cape Coral, and when Hurricane Ian came in, and those of you that are watching in Cape Coral, you remember this. I mean, in one day, the economy of Cape Coral changed when the hurricane came. See, things are a little bit unstable sometimes, and I will tell you that we need a favor that is not dependent on our own human stability. To the athlete that is in here, you might be in high school or college, or you might be a weekend warrior, I don't know, but I will tell you this, that that all it takes is a little injury, and things can change like that. You need a favor that's not dependent on human strength, a favor that's higher than that. To the person that has everything going their way right now, whatever age and stage you are, you have momentum, the wind is at your back, and I praise God for that, but you know this, all it takes is a little shifting of a circumstance. All it takes is a little turning of events, and it begins to crumble. You need a favor that is more than just human toughness and grit. You need a favor beyond that. You understand this, all of us are just one or two circumstances away from a very different life. And I believe this. I believe that for us to get favor, we need to have an understanding of that. That life is very fragile. It's not as secure as what we think. And that we need a favor that's beyond what we can control and what we can broker and what we can manufacture. In fact, I believe favor starts with this word, humility. being humble is not walking around going, woe is me, I suck, I can't do anything good. No, 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 that's delusional. That's not true. You don't suck. You are a child of the Most High God. So anytime we get into this like self kind of like you know, deprivation and we start just kind of like talking about how bad we are and how, no, 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 listen, that's not humility. Humility is this word, truth. Truth is this: without God, I can only do so much. Truth is, without God, I'll probably drive my life into a dead end eventually. Truth is, with God, I am a much better person than I could ever be on my own. Without God, I'm nothing. With Jesus, I am everything. Not because of me, because I'm hanging out with the one who has the authority and the power. Humility is knowing your place. Humility is saying God is first, I am second, and the result is that I live a more abundant life. I need God. And without him, I can't reach the fullest potential of the life that God wants me to live. In fact, I wrote this down. It's a little bit longer. I'm going to read it. But without a vibrant relationship with God, a person will find certain levels of inescapable displeasure, purposelessness, and helplessness from relying on one's own strength, talents, and abilities, which will someday foster a sense of dissatisfaction with life. No amount of money, no amount of fame, no amount of love, no amount of accomplishment will ever be able to fill the God-sized hole inside of each and every one of our lives. You understand that? And a humble person gets that. A humble person, no matter how talented they are, no matter how much they are resourced, how many connections they have, no matter how much moxie they have or whatever else, a humble person understands this and says, you know what? I'm gonna live a surrendered life to a good God who gives me favor and blessing and love because I am loyal to him. You know, another thing is obedience to God's commands brings favor. It isn't that you just get favor in its entirety because you're a child of God, although there is favor with that. It isn't just because that you give your life to Jesus that you get favor. Yes, you get some, but there's a whole nother level of favor that happens when you obey the commands of God. Remember this? Remember, my loyalty to United Airlines got me access to the one who had the power. And in the same way, your loyalty towards Jesus gives you access to the one who has power and gives you favor. Once you're in a relationship with God, he gives you unattainable favor that you can't get on your own. Now, I'm going to read a long passage of scripture here. It's out of Deuteronomy chapter 28. And really, what I love about this passage, it's God's talking to his people thousands of years ago, but it applies to us now in 2025. And really, what it talks about is it talks about obedience and favor. Obedience and favor. See if you can hear this tone in the scripture. Now, understand this too, that God is speaking to a primarily agrarian society, which means there are a bunch of farmers and herdsmen. These are people that live off the land. And so a lot of the metaphors he's using are agricultural. But don't let that throw you, because you can be a plumber, you could be a doctor, you could be a teacher, you could be a stay-at-home parent, you could be a student or a retiree, and the principle applies to you if you're a Christ follower. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 28, if you fully obey the Lord your God, right there it starts out, obedience. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all the commands that I'm giving you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the world. We love that, like, being elevated part. But the way you are elevated by God is that you first obey, all right? Goes on to say this. It says you will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. Your towns and your fields will be blessed. Your children and your crops will be blessed. Your offspring of your herds and flocks will be blessed. Your fruit baskets and breadboards will be blessed. Wherever you go and whatever you do, you will be blessed. The Lord will conquer your enemies when they attack you. They will attack you from one direction and they will scatter from you in seven. The Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do. I love that. The Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do and will fill your storehouses with grain. The Lord, your God, will bless you in the land he has given you if you obey the commands of the Lord, your God. Now, again, see how there's like blessing, but it is partnered with obedience, okay? And walk in his ways. The Lord will establish you as his holy people as he swore he would do. Then the nations of the world will see that you are a people claimed by the Lord, and they will stand in awe of you. The Lord will give you prosperity in the land he swore to your ancestors to give you, blessing you with many children, numerous livestock, and abundant crops. The Lord will send rain at the proper time from his rich treasury in the heavens and will bless all the work you do. You will lend to many nations and you will never need to borrow from them. If you listen to these commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today, and if you carefully obey them, there it is again, obedience, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. And you will always be on top and never at the bottom. You must not turn away from any of the commands I'm giving you today, nor follow after other gods and worship them. What an amazing passage of God's promise. But do you see the two wings on an airplane? That yes, one wing is blessing, but the other wing is obedience. And you don't get lift in life with only one wing. You have to have both. In other words, when you obey, then God will give you blessing. When you obey, then there is favor. You can't live a life of disobedience and expect the blessing of God on your life. So therefore, here's some truths about favor. Number one, I've already said it, but favor is not guaranteed, but it is contingent on your obedience to God. It's not automatic. You know those words, fully obey God, be careful to keep his commandments. You must not turn away from God. These are like key indicators on how to access God's favor. It comes through obedience. Second thing is this, favor is not for selfish gain. It's not just so you can post it on Instagram. It's not just so you could be bragging about it, but rather it is to carry forward God's will in our world and to be an example of God's goodness. If anything, the favor on your life should make him famous, not you famous. I love what it says in the Message version, verse 2. All these blessings will come down on you, and I love this, spread out beyond you. Think about it like a glass of water, and I'm taking a pitcher and I'm pouring it and fills up. And then what does it do? It overflows and it spills on the table. That's how God's blessing is on our life. Wherever we go, our workplace should be more blessed because we're there. Our family should be more blessed because we serve God. Our friendships should be more blessed because God is in you and flowing. So here's the thing. When you go to school, do you realize when you're walking down the hallway and where your locker's at, that hallway should be more blessed because you're there. It should have a different tone and a different tenor if you are not there. And so blessing spills out over. And the third thing is this, is that the rest of the world, God says, is gonna take notice. The rest of the world's gonna notice a difference. Verse 10, then all the nations will see that you know, you're a people claimed by God. And they're gonna stand in awe. They're gonna notice something. In fact, the people you go to school with, you work with, your neighbors, they should notice there's something a little different about you. Now, maybe you don't stick out a ton or whatever, but there's just something a little different. And they might ask themselves, man, why is it that you know, they're just different? It feels like there's kind of like a wind at their back. Now, I would say it this way. Your life should be living proof that serving God is worth it. There's a benefit. Yeah, you can give that a round of applause. Now, let me say what some of you are thinking, all right? Because I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you are like going, well, I serve God, but man, I feel like my life is kind of still a wreck. Well, hey, listen, this does not mean that your life is perfect or that your life is struggle-free. Some people have this misperception. They think favor means no struggle, or they think favor means no problems. No, no, no. This does not mean that you do not encounter very difficult circumstances, even sometimes are heartbreaking. We live in a hopelessly broken world. We're not gonna get out without some scratches, bruises, and scars. And so I just say that I'm talking about favor today, but that does not mean that your life is easy. It's all how you navigate the uneasy times and circumstances with God's favor that matters. In other words, let me put it a different way. Let me say, if you are just as depressed and broken and angry and addicted and selfish as people who don't know Jesus, then where's the benefit of knowing Jesus? Does that make sense? Now, the reality is you may be addicted right now, or you may be broken or depressed, or you might be angry or dealing with selfishness. Those things might be the battle you're in right now, one or more. Here's the thing though. What makes you different and why the favor of God is on your life is because you don't stay that way. You don't stay broken. You don't stay addicted. You don't stay angry. You don't stay selfish, but rather the favor of God and the blessing of God and the presence of His Holy Spirit helps you walk through those things, and little by little, and it doesn't happen overnight. It might take weeks or months or even years, but little by little, you start becoming an overcomer and victorious in those battles, because the favor of God is on you. You're less angry, you're less addicted, you're less selfish, you're less depressed. You see, you're moving in a direction of freedom and a new life that God has given to you. Like right now, City First, I want you to know it is okay. In fact, I would encourage you to know and believe that God has favored you. Like some of you never even thought about that before. Like, I'm favored? Some of you have been a church, you know, it's like, I'm favored and highly blessed. I'm favored and highly blessed. Okay, what? Listen, you are favored. And you are blessed. Even in the battle, man, there's blessings that God has given to you. And you will be in battles. But it's okay to believe for blessing for your home, for your children, for your grandchildren. It's okay to believe for blessing for your workplace, your school, your neighborhood, your life. I am not saying your life is going to be problem-free. Jesus's wasn't problem-free, and neither will yours be problem-free. So here's the thing. God gives favor, and He doesn't give it because you earn it. Now, yes, you got to be loyal to Him, and yes, you need to try to obey His commands, but it's not something you earn. God gives favor because He's a good God, and He gives it in an inequitable way. In other words, I give Him my heart and a little bit of loyalty, and I try real hard to obey His commands, and He gives me a lot of favor. It's not equal. And I will just tell you that when we serve Jesus, we receive favor, you know, from God that is far above, it far exceeds anything we could arrange on our own. I'm a living testimony of that. As we close, Corrie Ten Boom told a story in her book, Clippings from My Notebook. That was the name of the book. She tells a story, and for those of you who don't know who Corrie Ten Boom is, she was a Holocaust survivor and lived through the Holocaust and survived it, and then was a Christian, a strong Christian, and many of her family died, and she went on for years to preach about Jesus. She tells a story in this book about World War II and an English soldier that was taken captive by the Germans. And the English soldier was placed in a prison camp. And in the prison camp, the English soldier actually found Jesus. Somebody witnessed and led this English soldier to the Lord. And the English soldier made Jesus the leader and the forgiver of his life. And he had access to a Bible, and he was reading about God's favor in the Bible, specifically in Psalms 91. And the English soldier prayed and said, "Lord, men are dying all around me. And am I gonna die too? You know, here I am in this prison camp. I wanna serve you." And in his spirit, he didn't hear an audible voice. In his spirit, he felt like the Lord said to him, "Trust what you just read in the Bible. Trust it and go home." It's kind of weird. So the next time that the prisoners were allowed out of their cells for just a few minutes in the yard to be able to get some fresh air, this English soldier put his shoulders back, mustered up faith, and began to walk towards the gate. And when he got towards the gate, the German soldier guarding the gate in broken English said, "Prisoner, where are you going?" And this English soldier said, "I'm under the protection of the Most High." Well, here's what was confusing to the German soldier, because the German soldier was kind of stunned, because in Germany, one of the nicknames for Hitler was the Most High. And so this English soldier is like, "I'm underneath the protection of the Most High." The German soldier was kind of like, "Under Hitler? Wait a minute, what?" And was confused and just let the guy walk right on by. And so the English soldier got out to the outer gate, the main gate. And again, some German soldiers stopped him and said, "What are you doing?" And he goes, "I'm under the protection of the Most High." Again, they were confused. "Is he talking about Hitler? What's going on?" And the English soldier just kept walking, and they allowed him in the confusion to just walk right out of the camp. And history recounts that that English soldier found the Allies and made it back home to England safely months later. What's the lesson here? The lesson is this: when you are loyal to the Most High God, you walk in his favor. Oh, the enemy would love to convince you are trapped forever in the prison of depression, in the prison of anger, in the prison of fear, in the prison of addiction, in the prison of whatever it is. He would love for you to believe that. But you know what you need to do? Is every morning you put your shoulders back and say, "I am under the protection of the Most High God, who gives me favor and blessing and strength and freedom from this." Oh, I'm telling you, there's a favor that God gives us as we are humble and we realize it's not us, and we try to obey his commands, and we say, "God, thank you. I'm underneath your covering, your protection, your favor, and your blessing." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that today would be a reminder to many of us, and maybe for some of us it would be new information, that God, you are a good God that gives us favor. And as we acknowledge that without you, we're nothing, but with you, we are more than we could ever be on our own. As we understand that, God, you will give us favor as we walk through the battles of this life. You'll give us blessing that is beyond anything that we could manufacture. You'll give us freedom that, God, is not something that we can just achieve in our own strength. You'll open doors that no man can close, and you'll close doors that no man can open, and that there will be a blessing that surrounds us and a protection that surrounds us. Lord, we believe it. Thank you for your favor. And God, like that opening story, we choose to be loyal to you. We say we want to follow you, in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, 30 more seconds, no one looking around. If you say, "Man, I've never made that decision to be loyal to Jesus. I've never made him the leader of my life. I've never made him Lord and Savior and acknowledge the fact that He's in charge. And if you want that, today I want to pray a prayer with you. It's not a prayer to join a church. It's a prayer to join the family of God. So if you want to make Jesus the leader and the forgiver of your life, the leader of your life, if you want to repent of everything you've ever done wrong and say, Jesus, you're in first and I'm going to be in second. If that's you, go ahead and raise your hand. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And yes, hands are up everywhere. I guarantee you at every location, you can put them down. Can we all say this prayer together, whether you raised your hand or you didn't? Jesus, I come to you today and I declare you as my Lord and Savior, as my leader and forgiver. Forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart. I believe you died for me. I want to live for you. Thank you for loving me with an unconditional love. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Come on, let's give God.
Hey, if you made that decision today to follow Jesus, we just want to take a moment and say congratulations, because that is the best decision that you could ever make. It's the most life-changing decision that you could ever make. And we're excited for the journey that you are now on. And we have a free resource as a church that we want to give you. It's called New Beginnings. So just scan that QR code that is on the screen and you'll be able to receive a digital copy. And what this new resource is it really just explains the what's next or the now what after making that decision that you're making today. So make sure that you scan that QR code and go ahead and take advantage of that new resource.
And after you finish the New Beginnings resource, a great next step in your faith would be to check out Growth Track. It starts the first Sunday of each month, and it really is all about discovering your God-given purpose and design and just learning about your gifts and what to do with them and how to use them. And so you can sign up on the website or the app.
Yeah, and hey, we are a third of the way through our 21 Days of Prayer initiative. So just want to take a moment, and if you are doing it, keep doing it. Want to encourage you to keep leaning in, keep prioritizing that. And maybe you haven't jumped on, we want to give the invitation to join us for the next 2 weeks as we continue in 21 Days of Prayer. I want to also talk about our prayer guide on the app. If you jump on there every day, there's a scripture and a topic to pray about and a written prayer. So we would love for you to take advantage of that. It's on the City First app, 21 Days of Prayer.
And with that, we just hope that you guys will join us next week here at church. We're really excited that you are with us today. We're praying for you that you have an amazing week. And again, just thanks for being with us today.
Right.
We'll catch you next time.
Week.